Overcoming life. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along. Overcoming life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi Allah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi Allah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Whoever sends blessings upon me once, Allah Almighty will send blessings upon him 10 times and will erase 10 sins from him and will raise him 10 degrees in status." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome to our series Overcoming Life. Before we get into today's topic, I just wanted to delve a bit deeper on the hadith that was just mentioned at the start. Whoever sends blessing upon me once, Allah Almighty will send blessings upon him 10 times, will erase 10 sins from him, and will raise him 10 degrees in status. SubhanAllah.
Durood e Pak, salutation, peace and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a means of great blessings, not just in this world, but also in the afterlife, like we've learned from this as well. Mm-hmm. So one should make this a routine of his life, that he sends salutation, peace and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way to do this is, I would recommend the viewers of Madni Channel is, but at least get a small tasbih in your hand. And this will keep on reminding you. This is a reminder. And these reminders are needed for us to connect to our deen. And inshallah, once you have a tasbih in your hand, you get these counter tasbihs now, very easy to have. And it's on your finger all times. Even though your mind goes elsewhere, but as soon as you touch your finger, it's there. So we remind you to get back into the routine. And inshallah, see how much blessings you will gain from this, inshallah.
Allah. And the reason I picked this specific hadith is because it also spoke about sins being forgiven by remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that brings us to today's topic, which is the topics, can Allah still forgive me? So often youngsters think, I keep messing up. Can Allah still forgive me? And that's why I mentioned this specific hadith. So Abdul Haram Bhai, I'm going to delve straight into this one, because it's a beautiful and heavy topic. Why do you think so many youngsters today feel like they've messed up so much that they can't even come back anymore to Allah?
You know, a number of things can make a person think like this. One is that sometimes this is something to push a person away from the deen. That a person thinks, oh, there's no forgiveness for me. There's no way out for me. You know, that's it, I'm stuck. This is making a person hopeless. And in Islam, there is always hope. Right, alhamdulillah, the doors of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are always open, they don't close. And one needs to understand this, one needs to realize this. And alhamdulillah, you'll find many accounts, many hadiths, many events in history that people who were indulged in sins to a such a great degree that they were forgiven and the tawbahs were accepted. The very famous account of the man who murdered 99 people. Mm. Right? Everyone's heard it. We all hear it and we'll hear this again and again. But it's, you know, sometimes the people who are involved in this waswasa, it's gone that deep that for something like that, it doesn't affect them. Right? That, you know, someone was forgiven. Because these accounts of mercy are, you know, for us to able to realize the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how grateful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how He will forgive His. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for these opportunities for His servants to be asking whatever way or whichever excuse so He can forgive them.
And often now we have people thinking that I can't come back, I'm too far gone. But you know what you've just mentioned, that fear of Allah. I think for them to think that in the first place is fear of Allah. Because if they're thinking, oh, I don't think I'll be forgiven. Although that is if it is hopelessness, that's a bad thing. Because that's shaitan trying to put you away from forgiveness. Which Allah Almighty's doors are always open for forgiveness. But then you've got this feeling now that, oh, what if I can't go back? But then you having that feeling is also in your heart thinking that Allah will, that you're thinking, you're reflecting on it, aren't you?
You know, this I'll turn back to this saying of our Shaykh at-Tariqat Amir-e-Sunnat, Hazrat Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qazi Sahib Rahmat Pur Khatman Aliya. Amir-e-Sunnat says that being aware of evil, this is unique, subhanAllah. He says, being aware of evil means avoiding it. So if the person is saying this, that I'm doing something, he's got this in his mind, I'm doing something wrong, or I have done too much wrong, what is this? This means that avoiding it is God. So why doesn't a person think like this? Why does he have to think there's no way out for me? So this himself is actually this reaction of his, this state of his is telling that he has a fear of Allah in his heart. And when anyone who has fear of Allah, you know, that person always a chance that he will be forgiven. Because the fear is what leads to repentance. And repentance is what, you know, what is the means of forgiveness.
We have these youngsters that often, those who feel like, oh, I'm too far gone, Allah won't forgive me. It reminds me of a hadith, and this is one of my favorite hadiths. A person sinned, and then he turned to Allah Almighty and said, Ya Allah, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Allah Almighty forgives this person. Then this person sins again. Then he says the same thing to Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Allah Almighty forgives that person again. Then this person sins a third time. And asks sorry to Allah Almighty. He says, Ya Allah, please forgive me. Allah Almighty forgives this person again. And of course, if it was someone like us, if someone had wronged us three times, we would probably tell that person, go away. That's it. You keep doing this.
We should never give up hope. You know, the mercy of Allah, the doors of mercy of Allah are always open. And there's so many accounts. There's so many, you know, you'll find narrations are full. There's actually a book written by Dawud Islami and published by Maktabat al-Madina. Hopefully you can download this. It's on repentance. Alhamdulillah, the Tawbah. It's a very unique book because it talks about all these stories of many, many people who repented in the past and the different ways of repenting. And, you know, there's one account I really like, a story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, that there was no rain. People, crops weren't growing, nothing was, and everyone was in that state. And they came into the court of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and they said, O Prophet of Allah, make dua, Allah grants us rain. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he gathered all the people. Look at the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Although the du'as of the Anbiya are accepted, but these are lessons for us. Right? They will gather the people. They will make everyone involved. They will involve them all. So alhamdulillah, the environment of Dawat Islami, you see that. Every Thursdays in the gatherings, we have the du'a. And it's a collective du'a. Sometimes a person makes his du'a in his home. But the collective du'a, whose ameen, Allah, for whose sake Allah forgives you. So anyway, events of Tawbah are a means of inspiration of us to repent, us to, no matter what you've done wrong, what your crimes are, the size of the mountains, the size of the ocean, rather greater than the mercy of Allah, never. So relying upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, one should turn towards repentance and towards Tawbah. Never give up hope in the mercy of Allah, because that's where everything lies. Right, this hope in Allah, it's unique. You know, if one has it, you'll gain a lot of things from it.
Allah, you know, we've been talking about the tafsir of the Quran quite a lot. And why we emphasize on this so much is because, again, all of these answers, every single thing is in the Holy Quran. Everything is in the Quran. Even related to this, Allah Almighty says in the Quran, O my servants who have wronged themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. All sins. It doesn't say specific sins. So again, when they fall into that trap, the same as that story, subhanAllah, what a beautiful story. And if we just think to ourselves that if this was to happen on the Day of Judgment and our sins were to be put out in front of everyone, then there will be everyone there. And then just cry to Allah Almighty with that in mind, that the effect that that dua will have, you will feel it in your heart as well. It's just things like that. So if we were to have this mindset, do you think it would help us?
Definitely, the mindset is what helps you. You know, this is what creates hope in it. If you think that there is still a way out, you will try it. Right? And in just generally looking in, a criminal will look for a way out and in the world, and some way I can get away. You know, he'll hire a solicitor, a lawyer. And what for? To get out, isn't it? There's still a chance. Right? Even that the whole evidence are collected against you, there's still a chance of getting away. It's worth at times, you know. And the person's always looking for that hope. So when in the matters of the dunya, we are looking for hope. In the matters of the afterlife, we should still be looking for hope. And regarding Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, his fear was so much that, he would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side, and the other side is his hope in Allah's mercy was so much as well, that if everyone was to put into the fire of hell and one person was to be put into Jannah, I would feel that one person will be me. Right? That was hope in Allah. Right? Think about it. Everyone else in the fire of hell, only one person into Jannah. He's still having hope that person will be me. And that is, alhamdulillah, where we have given the aspect of fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are also given the aspect of hope. That having hope in Allah, that Allah will forgive you. Having hope that one day I will turn towards goodness and with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep on trying. And it's not just hoping, but one needs to make an effort as well.
Mm. When we're talking about hope here, I think what's more dangerous than the sin itself is when they actually lose that hope. You know how Sayyidina Farooq Adam, you just mentioned, that they would be fearful of, done so, this, but then they would also be hopeful on the other side. I think losing that hope, that hopefulness, if someone was to lose that, that's the biggest danger, specifically in this time. That's the biggest danger, because then you would fall into that constant cycle, wouldn't you? So if you already lost that hope, now, okay, I'm not going to be forgiven because I've done so much, I've done this, you'll fall into that cycle of that sin. And that's when you start to normalize that sin. And once you normalize the sin and you stop asking for forgiveness after that sin, you're stuck in that, aren't you?
Yes, holding hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, like I've said, you listen to narrations which build this aspect of hope. And one of the things is, don't keep things to yourself. I'm not saying here is revealing your sins. But sometimes a person is generally stuck in a problem. He keeps him to himself and he thinks, there's no way out. Sometimes it's just a matter of discussing with someone. Taking advice, taking lessons. It reminds me of a man who went to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi is from the Taba Tabi'een. Those who saw the Tabi'een. They were from the early generation. Great, pious man of Allah Almighty. So a man went to him and he said, I've committed many crimes. I've committed many sins. Give me some advice that I can reflect, I can change. I get myself out of these habits. I always like to quote this is because how beautiful it is that when someone is stuck somewhere, but he's going to advice to who? From the pious. And I tell you, this is seeking advice from the pious is, it's a way of building hope within yourself. And sometimes, alhamdulillah, we are blessed in a unique way with the environment of Dawat Islam, where sometimes you have something coming to your mind. You're sitting there and all of a sudden you watch Madini channel. Really speaking about that.
The amount of time that has happened.
The Sheikh is speaking about that and the guidance is there. Even those who are in his presence, a lot of the times you see people saying this as well. They say, look, I have this thing in my mind, but the Sheikh started to speak about it. Alhamdulillah, the company of the pious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the means of opening our hearts. They are means of removing our wrong thoughts, our negative thinking, furthestness away from the deen. They bring us close. And how they do it is unique. See, now, the man came to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah. He said, look, I have a habit of sins. Give me some advice. Look at the piece of advice Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah is giving. And this was not just one occasion. A number of occasions, other occasions happened when person came in a similar way. In this occasion, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, he gave him pieces of advice. I'll mention a few from them. The first piece of advice, he said, when you are about to commit sin, then stop eating the sustenance provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stop eating what Allah has provided you. I'm thinking, what sort of advice are you giving me? I'm here telling you to leave sins. You're telling me stop eating Allah's sustenance. He says, look how bad it is. This is the reply of Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham. Look how bad it is. You eat what Allah provides you. You eat from Him who is providing you and you disobey Him as well. Right? It's like you're working for someone and He's giving you money, He's giving you income, and then you try to rob Him as well. You try to do something wrong. He's your employee. He's giving you a good salary. You still try to cheat him. Still try to cut corners. What sort of person are you? So, in Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham is making you reflect on this. And another advice is, when he's asked, he said, leave the land of Allah. You're going to commit a crime. Why commit it on the land which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The man said, where should I go? Left, right, up, down, whichever direction I go. This is the land of Allah. How can I leave it? So Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham Rahman is making things. How bad is it? You live on his land and you disobey him on his land? See how Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullah is building him. One thing at a time. talking about hiding himself from Allah when you're committing a crime. And he's saying, oh, how can I hide? Allah is watching me. So he's building him up. This is what the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do. Then he goes on to say, when the angel of death comes to you, you say, give me some time to repent. The man thinks, what are you talking about? How can I get time? I won't have time. And anyway, this way, it goes on to the stage of the grave, the Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, and you're ordered to go to the fire of hell, refuse to go. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham bringing us to that stage, that look, you're committing a crime, how are you going to protect yourself from all these things? Either leave them, or protect yourself from it. And the man, he realizes, no way out. He repents, he just told by the court of Allah. And in another occasion, is mentioned regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim, a man came, he said, Yazid, we make dua, but duas are not answered. This is another thing related to forgiveness as well. The person thinks that he supplicates, but his duas are not answered. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham al-Rahman gave him advice. Why your duas are not answered? You believe in Allah, yet you disobey Him. You say you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet you don't follow His sunnah. You bury the dead, yet you don't take a lesson from them. Anyway, this andaz, this way, this method of advice, it's always had an effect on people. People's lives have changed because of how unique these pieces of advice were. And alhamdulillah, what I can say is, in our time, these types of advice you'll gain from the Shaykh, Hazrat Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qadri Sahab Damat Bukhatan Laliya. Unique way of advice, alhamdulillah. And I would say to the viewers of Madni channel is that, alhamdulillah, stay tuned, continue watching the silsilas, these what shows on Madani channel, alhamdulillah, and especially our Shaykh Atriq, every Saturday is the Madani Muzakara. This is a live question and answer session, alhamdulillah. Watch this. This will open up your heart, you'll open up your minds, open up your thinking, alhamdulillah. And the company of the pious, you know, those who, I would say, advise those who still have an opportunity. If you're watching Madani channel, you have an opportunity to be in the company of Amir Sunnah. Go on, make that one time journey. Go and sit in his company, you know, whether it's the month of Ramadan, the whole month, itikaf, the Shaykh gives advice every day, twice a day, whether it's month of Rabiul Awwal, many time of the year, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh is there. Be in the company. This company of the pious are, it's a powerful tool. And when you have people like this in our time, make time out for it, I tell you, and you'll see what you...
I don't think words can be used to describe the feeling you have when you're there as well. This year was the first time I went there. I still haven't recovered from it. The beauty, the environment that's there. Like, you know, someone said that it felt as if it was a city within the city of Karachi. You can't. That's the perfect description of it. The beauty of being in their presence. And you know how you was mentioning that they already replied to the questions that you have in your mind before you even asked them. That was with me. I was part of the translation team. I would be translating, and a question would come into my mind. I'm like, I'm gonna go to the mic now and ask. And Bapa would already answer it. Then another question would come and they would already answer it. So it was a different thing. And the spirituality there as well, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful. So I would definitely advise the viewers of Madri channel to make a trip there at least one time, inshallah.
You know, one of the advices the Shaykh gives is that it says, avoid unnecessary matters so that you do not fall into sins. I tell you, this advice, if we take this on, so many unnecessary matters which... why we end up in committing a sin. Things which we should not even get into. You know, we like to put our heads in everything. And then when you get stuck, you get stuck. Right? So just avoid them from day one. This is the advice from the Shaykh, that avoid unnecessary matters. Things which don't concern you. They're nothing to do with you. Once you'll avoid them, inshallah, you'll see that going towards the sin will be far away. Inshallah.
Inshallah. I think we've spoken about sins and that feeling of hopelessness, but how can one make dua, or what does real tawbah, what does tawbah look like? If someone's struggling to actually think of tawbah, what can we give them to make them think what tawbah looks like?
Tawbah is basically, you know, the ulama mentioned the sharait, the conditions of tawbah, mentioned by scholars are three main conditions. One is to admit your crime. That's the first condition. Second is to have regret. So first is to admit crime. Second is to have regret. Third is to make a firm intention not to do that again. If one doesn't even look at these categories and he's not even able to fulfill this condition, then it's not tawbah. It's mocking. You're just mocking yourself that you're thinking you've done tawbah. It's not tawbah. You know, the first thing, even admitting the crime, is not there. You explain someone who's backbiting. He's talking bad about another Muslim, and when you stop him, brother, this is backbite. What does he do? What does he say?
It's not like writing. I'm just telling the truth.
Exactly. That's exactly what he says. I'm telling the truth. He's not even going into the first condition yet. He's not admitting his crime. The crime is not being admitted. How can you do tawbah? Why are you doing tawbah over? So first you have to admit, I've done wrong. It is backbiting. It is lying. It is cheating. It is swearing. This is a crime. Admitting that crime is the first thing. Because if you haven't admitted, you won't be able to get into tawbah. So you have to say, you have to make yourself feel, I have done wrong. Till we don't say this, I have done wrong, you're not doing tawbah. So put yourself in that position. Then this is also humbleness as well. You have to humble. You see, you want to gain something from the court of a king. You're going to go into the king's court and you're going to say, give me some diamonds. You think the king's going to grant you diamonds? Even in a worldly court of a king, you humble yourself, you go there. Oh, you probably praise the king, you probably say good things about him. You make dua, you say, Ya Allah, forgive me. How is that dua? Dua is when first of all, humble yourself in the court of Allah. Even the state you raise your hands, the state and then feeling that remorse, that regret in your heart, that's the next thing. Where is the regret? If you're just saying, Ya Allah, forgive me for all my sins. And does it show regret here? There's no regret. Regret is when, even that the scholars say, if you cannot cry, at least make the face of a crying person. Meaning show that, even that might be enough.
You know what the other thing is, often we've also fallen into this misconception that your dua has to be perfect, or you have to say specific things for your dua to be accepted. But the true condition is actually meaning it from your heart, isn't it? You could just say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. And that could be the most powerful dua you've ever done because you've done it with your heart.
Yes, it definitely has to be done with the depths of your heart. Otherwise, it's not going to be that sort of dua. You need to really have a firm from your heart that I am doing wrong. I've committed crime. I've done wrong, Ya Allah. And this admitting the crime and having remorse over it. It's like you find that a child, when he does something wrong, that child goes to in the court of his mother or his father, and the mother says, did you do wrong? And then the child says, yes, mother, I've done wrong. The feeling for the parent towards that child is different. But when that child doesn't admit, parents know that the child has stolen something. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. Okay, you're the only son. There's no one else in the house, right? It's going to be you. So you just have to admit it, and you know he was there a minute ago, now he's gone missing. It's obvious. You've done something. So it's a matter of, sorry, mother, I won't do it again. I tell you, that will connect you more closer to your mother than you saying, no, it wasn't me, but I'll ask forgiveness anyway. That attitude is not going to get you anyway.
They're going into that protectiveness. Right. You need to get rid of that.
You're right. So it's the same when it's a lot more when you're going into the court of Allah. So at least we can start from that. Just admit what you've done wrong. And this is not just in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when you've done something wrong in life, admit it. It's not going to lower you. And try to, once we try to keep it, hold it, keep ourselves back, you find that person will never trust you again. And the same with, I would advise the children here is what? That when the parents catch you doing something wrong, admit it. Right? If you're going to hide yourself, what's going to happen is that then same parents will not trust you. They know that every time you will always lie. So admit your crimes, admit you've done wrong. And this last condition was that make a firm intention not to do it again. It's very hard. Make a firm intention that you're not going to do it again. At least for that moment, let's try to build that intention in our heart. Ya Allah, I'm not going to do it again. Who knows, this might be enough. And the mercy of Allah showers upon us all.
Now that's what I was going to ask you for advice at the end, but you've answered my question before I even asked it, subhanAllah. So dear viewers of Madni Channel, you've been watching Overcoming Life. JazakAllah for tuning in today. And just remember the lessons from today, that no matter what you've done, Allah Almighty is the most forgiving. He will forgive you. Just turn to Allah, admit your sins, and then ask for forgiveness with a sincere heart. Inshallah, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Overcoming life. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along.